And that's the whole message right there. That Jesus, God before the beginning of time, left heaven and came to earth to be with you. That's the message in a nutshell. It's all about Jesus. Christmas, it's all about Jesus. And yet it's so easy to get caught up on the other stuff, on the Christmas. It's not Christmas without the angel. I mentioned this, that I can't tell you how many times I emailed Ruth and misspelled angel as angle. And she was so patient in correcting me. Here's the deal. Angel means messenger. Angel means messenger. Whenever you define somebody by what they do, focus on what they do, it's all about the message. If you're one of these people that tunes out after 3 minutes of the sermon, you caught it. It's all about the message, and the message is Jesus. You can now unplug. Last week we talked about acute angles. I'm amazed how often we get caught up in it being cute. We get caught up in it being nice. And we don't see where God's calling us to new frontiers, where God's calling us to grow. One of the things I always do this time of year is go, hey, where's my faith gotten acute? Where am I playing it safe? Where is God calling me to risk, and I've led in my faith not risk? Because right, anybody else, risk is scary? Yeah, exercising faith is scary. And so it's easy to let it get acute. It's easy to play it small. Luke 2:52 says this. Now, Jesus was God before the creation of the world. Jesus incarnated 2,000 years ago, but never ceased being God. And yet, Luke 2:52 says that Jesus grew. Now, stop and let that just bake your noodle for a second. Jesus grew. Like, I could do a whole sermon series on that, because often when we think growth, we think that it started with not enough and then somehow grew into what it should be. No, Jesus grew. And it says Jesus grew in these four areas. Luke 2:52. And he grew in wisdom. How have you grown in wisdom this year? Now, don't mistake this. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing stuff. Wisdom is putting it into action. How have you grown in wisdom? And even more, looking into 2020, where do you need to grow in wisdom this next year? Like, some of you are becoming parents. You need to grow in wisdom. You need to learn some new stuff. You need to put it into exercise. Where do you need to grow in wisdom? Jesus grew in wisdom, and so we should be too. Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus grew in stature. Everybody just say stature. It means he got ripped. He got buff. No, it means Jesus took care of his body. How do I need to grow in stature this year? Where have I just stopped caring? Where have I not been a good steward of my body? Where have I let my energy just get low? And so I don't exercise, so my energy gets low, so I don't exercise, so I don't eat right. Hey, how do I grow in stature? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. And then this next one is, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God. Now hold on, I thought Jesus was God. How do you grow in favor with God? First thing is this. Favor is a gift. All right, if I go up to Brian and I say, hey, Brian, can you do me a favor? I'm depending on Brian's kindness, on Brian's mercy, on you know, I'm asking for a favor. If I go up to Brian and go, hey, can you do me a favor and remember I mowed your lawn 8 years ago? I didn't, just in case anybody starts thinking I go out and randomly mow. No, no longer is it favor. Now it's a transaction. It's going, hey, what is this word? No, see, Jesus grew in favor. And don't mistake this. Jesus didn't do some stuff so that God liked him more. No, the reason the Father loved the Son was because he was his Son. The reason God loves you, the reason you have favor with God, isn't because you wrote a huge check. It isn't because you served. It's not because you played in the worship team. It's not because you ushered. It's not because you made the call. No, you have favor with God because God loves you. The favor comes from God. You need to look at the Bible and see this. Remember what the Father said at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why was the Father pleased with the Son? Well, because of all the miracles the Son had done. Oh, except he hadn't done any yet. He was pleased with them because of the way he was making disciples. Oh, he hadn't called his disciples yet. He was pleased with his Son because of all the healings. He hadn't done any healings yet. No, he was pleased. This is one of the favorite, man, I'm starting to get to the reflection point where I'm like, man, what am I going to miss when I'm not a parish pastor anymore? One of the things that I've realized I love that I can't do anymore is go visit newborn babies in the hospital. I realized when I'm not a parish pastor, if I do that, they're going to be weirded out. Big time. But what's amazing, and it's the first child always. I mean, I saw it with you guys this morning. Parents go through this thing when they have that first kid. The kid can't even hold their head up yet. And the parent is pleased with the child. The parent has favor on the child. Why? Because they're theirs. See, this is what it means when Jesus grew in favor with God. Not that God loved him more, because God already loved him all the way, the same way God already loves you all the way. But there's a difference when you start going, hold on, I'm going to work from that position. I'm going to just grow into that. That everything I do, I'm going to realize more and more and more is a gift. The way that we do it is we realize that we're working from grace, not for it. How are you growing in favor with God? How are you going? I'm going to step out in faith even more because God already has my back. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and then in favor with man. This is where we got to be so careful of getting acute. People think that we earn favor with other people. People think that we grow in relationship through being nice. And there's something about that. I'm not saying, you know, don't tip your waitress. But man, some of my best relationships are the ones I have the hardest conversations in. Who do you love enough to tell them the truth? Who do you love enough to sit down and go, dude, if you keep going down this path, you're hitting a brick wall and you're hitting it quick. What's it look like? How do you, and I'd encourage you, how do you, by faith, grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man? What's that look like in 2020? And I know the board of directors is working on this. Hey, where's Promise going? How are we going to grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man? Where is God calling us to do new and entertaining and fun and dangerous things? One thing I noticed is we can get too acute in our faith. We can also get obtuse. An obtuse angle is an angle that's just too big. And one of the things, this time of year, I see this on social medias a lot, that people post so much about the real story of Christmas. the truth about the Christmas tree. One thing I found is whenever somebody starts with the real, it's probably not. Whenever somebody starts with the true story of the Christmas tree, it's probably not. We can get so caught up in knowledge that we don't do love. That's what 1 Corinthians says. It says, knowledge puffs up. Anybody ever met anybody that's puffy? They know all kinds of stuff, but there's no love there. There's a country music song that showed up, and it said, he was so heavenly minded that he was of no earthly good. And that's what we're talking about, right? How easy is it to get puffy? If it doesn't lead to love, it's probably obtuse. If it doesn't lead to love, it's probably obtuse. Let me give you, these are just ones I found this week. And it's fascinating. They showed up on some kind of social media feed. I'm gonna read through Luke 2, and I invite you to read through it with me. But these are the, oh, you've got it wrong, and so there's a problem. Remember last week we talked about what do you see, what do you smell, what do you hear, what do you taste? As you read it, put yourself in the narrative and ask, what do you see, what do you smell, what do you hear, what do you taste? What were the real people in the real place doing? But don't get so caught up on that that it gets obtuse. As we read it, I encourage you to do that. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everybody went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David, and he went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting a child. And while they were there, it came time for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What do you see? What's the manger made out of? Yeah, wood. No! No, it's not! Over in Jerusalem, it was stone! The animals, they carved stone, and the animals fed out of the stone. And it was probably a cave, not a manger. And I'm amazed how many people will just lose it over this. And they'll argue over this. And sure, it was stone. But man, how often can we major in minors? We can get caught up in things. Do they really matter that much? Let's keep reading. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. What was the weather like? Well, we know it was snowy. Of course it was snowy, because there's snow on top of the wooden manger. I've seen it under my... No! I mean, when we stop and read the text, why were the shepherds in the field? Why were the flocks in the field at night? Because they were eating. You realize that, right? That's why you take the sheep into the field, because sheep eat grass. What time does grass grow? Yeah, in the summer. Uh-oh. I'm amazed how many people, something like that they realize a new fact, and it starts rocking their faith. They start going, oh, no, what did I? No, it's a detail. Learn the details, but don't get so caught up in them that they mess you up. How old were the shepherds? That's the best answer right there. No, right, they're little kids along with the cherub angels, or they're grisly old men. No, what were they? Well, we know. We know because it's quitting time. They're old enough that they can be left in the field alone, but they're not high enough on the corporate ladder that they have to work the overtime. Yeah, they're 16, 17. Just got their driver's license. Driving through the suburbs. By the way, that was a joke. Don't email me. If you're thinking you have to email me to tell me they didn't have cars, you're probably getting obtuse. I'm amazed. And if you read through socials, people post the real story of Christmas. It's got to be a stone. It's got... Don't miss the message. Don't get so obtuse that you miss the message. And what's the message? Let's be crystal clear. You see it right here in Luke 2:15. This is the message. Glory to 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's the whole thing. See, we know there should be a war between us and God. We know that God should be mad at us. We know that God should be angry at us. I don't even need to believe in God to know that I've fallen way short. I have atheist friends that they look in the mirror and they go, I'm not living quite the way I know I should be living. Like, it doesn't even take religion to know that we're sinners. We've all fallen short, even of our own standard. And man, I know when I then start looking at the bigger picture, my standard is here and I fall short of it, and God's standard is here, and I'm way short of it. See, the message that God should be mad at us, well, duh. But what did the angel say? Glory to God in the highest, and peace. God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. God's not at war with you. God's not angry at you because of Jesus on the cross. God's expressed his love. God's forgiven you. God set you free. See, that's the message. Be very, very careful not to get obtuse. We got one more slide, I think. Do we? Or did I skip something? Click. Nope, we did that one. Oh, yeah, it's the question. Where's Christmas gotten obtuse in your life? Where are you doing things based on knowledge, but you're forgetting about the love? And honestly, where's your faith gotten obtuse? Where is it got about a checklist? Where is it got about rules rather than a relationship? As you know, my family's relocating down to the South, which is fascinating because they find out that I'm Lutheran. And in the South, they go, what's that? Man, do you know how fun that is, explaining to someone? I go, well, back before 1500, we were Catholic. And then there was a church split. And they're like, oh, okay, so it's Catholic but different. And then they go, is there just one? No. Then these Lutherans didn't like these Lutherans, and so they made more Lutherans, and then these Lutherans didn't like these Lutherans, and so they made... See, here's the deal. And don't mishear this. Yes, they're sometimes people have done stupid things. Amen? I'm included in that? But here's what I've noticed. Every church split, people forget to focus on the cross. When it becomes anything other than the cross and keeping the cross at the center, our angle's off. The minute we start thinking, I can do something to earn God's favor, our angle's off. And so that's why week after week after week, we return to this gathering. We return to this table where we receive Jesus' body and blood somehow miraculously in with and under this bread and this wine, where God meets us where we're at, sets us free from our sins yet again, and calls us to exercise that faith. God, help us. God, sometimes we're holding on to our sin so closely that we forget that we've picked up the chains that you loosed years ago when you died on the cross. God, there's hurt and there's pain and there's suffering and there's risk and there's adventure and there's newness, and you are joining us in all of it. Open our eyes so we can see where you're leading. God, some right in our midst are hurting right now. We got baby Bennett who's dealing with all kinds of heart stuff. God, bring healing. God, be with Joellen and the broken bones. God, Aaron's dealing with physical and emotional stuff and is just asking for your help. God, open her eyes to see where you are. God, be with Steve and his whole family as they deal with the onset of dementia. Give them your peace. God, thank you for the donor, for Gail. Let the chemo do what it's supposed to do and bring her through this, God. God, continue to bring healing to Joe after his surgery. Be with Melanie and Brad and Becky and Peter and the health issues that they're dealing with. And God, these are just the ones that we wrote down on the cross. There's so many more even within us. God, hear our prayer and Lord, have mercy on us. God, shape us and lead us. Even as we meditate on your word, praying the very prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.